Everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Shoujo, the podcast where I, Sarah, introduce my friend Joe to shoujo anime. And this week we continue our coverage of our newest series, My Happy Marriage. And yeah, before we jump into that in all its glory, let's catch up. Joe, what's she doing? What's up in Joe world?
Not that much. I finished The Sopranos season 5. I haven't been watching any of the anime I'm supposed to watch. I'm watching The Sopranos. So I'm on the last season. And that season is twice as long as all the other ones. So I keep being like, because I'm going to go to Japan in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to finish it by then.
Okay.
Well, hopefully I'll go to Japan in 2 weeks. Who knows? Maybe all the airplanes will just be on the ground forever because the government in the U.S. is still shut down as of this recording. So who knows?
May
just never be able to get there.
No. Joe.
What?
That can't happen.
It could. Who knows?
No. No way.
So no. I guess we'll see. Everything's in place, though, so that's good me, I guess. I just need to get a haircut. This
are you
going
to take
my
your shoujo shirt? Are you going to wear your shoujo shirt in Japan?
Probably not.
That's true. They probably have much better podcasts there about the stuff that they're making.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so anyway, that's what's going on with me. I'm just getting everything together. I tried to clean out some of my apartment stuff. I redid all of the cabling for my TV and all of the game consoles I have that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's all good. Clean some stuff out, trying to plan out decorating the rest of my apartment so it's not so bare walled. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Nice.
Fun stuff.
Okay, super fun. I got a 7-day free trial for the YMCA. So I've been going and working out. I think I just am feeling very restless right now. Like, I don't know. If I have free time, I am in a phase where I just sleep through all my free time, or like I can't enjoy my free time like I normally would, where I play video games. So I feel like I had to be out doing things.
Oh,
and so I'm gonna try and be productive in doing that and just work out. So I've been doing that. So I'm feeling fine about that.
Mm-hmm.
New car is good, except for I don't remember if I talked about this, but like it kind of having this like last driver was a smoker thing. So like
right,
I gotta figure out fix that. That's like my one little stressor right now. It's like, I don't want to have like the mobile ashtray car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Did board game night last night and I won a game called Actually that I played for the first time, which is like a know-it-all game. So go me.
Good.
Yes. And I have my work panel this week. So that'll already have happened by the time this episode comes out, but little worky work stuff. And then just been watching like Love Island Australia, which is decent. I need a person I dislike. It's like a fine balance of like having a person in the show that you're rooting against, but like how much can you tolerate them because you don't like them? But then once they're gone, can no longer cheer for their demise because then it's over. So I have my person that I'm like, yeah, this chick. Normally in Australia, it's like the dudes are troublingly toxic and dumb. But this time it's more of a like a chick. But yeah, and then I don't know. I watched the first couple episodes of the new last season of My Hero Academia. Which I am watching dubbed, so then I gotta be perpetually behind.
How is it?
It's decent, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since I watched like, ooh, cool fight stuff anime, it feels like. So it's okay. We get to see the Invisible Girl, which now I'm seeing a bunch of fan art for her constantly. And yeah, I don't know. Spoilers? I can't delve too much, but it's fine. The opening wasn't, I think it's most important that a show has a good first opening. Like, as long as the first opening of a show is like catchy, mm-hmm. I feel like a flashy, catchy opening will get a lot of people into your show that wouldn't otherwise.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that is, that can be
that
true.
One had a decent first opening.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, have you got...
Speaking of games.
Oh. Yes.
Two things. One, I finished my first playthrough of Silent Hill F, which very clearly expects you to do multiple playthroughs of it. Because the first one doesn't really explain anything. It's just kind of just weird.
Oh, is this like that Nier game?
Where
it has like ending A, B, C, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, kind of like Nier straight up ending A just isn't the last ending, like just doesn't conclude the story. Like other endings actually conclude it. This gets to the end, but it's like not, there's clearly like more, and you're like, it very much hints at like other things you're supposed to do to unlock other endings. So this is like a conclusion. Like you could just stop here. If you stopped like an ending and ending A in like Nier Automata, that would be weird, I think.
Yeah, that's what I liked.
Yeah. So a little different than that, but it is very much like you want the better ending. You should play through it again on like New Game Plus mode or whatever, which I'll probably just do and just take the difficulty down on everything because I don't need to do that again.
Nope.
So that was pretty good. You know, I had a good time with that. I'll start that second playthrough soon. And also in real life, I'm learning how to play Go.
Ooh, that seems so up your alley, Joe.
Yeah.
Of like a thing to learn to play.
Yes. Oh, so I'm learning how to play Shikamaru Go with some friends. What?
Isn't that what Shikamaru? No, they play something else.
They play Shogi, which is like chess.
You're right. Okay. I think there's an anime about Go. It's got like the blonde haired kid. What is that called? There's an anime about it, I think.
Okay.
I'm sure there is. Sports anime about Go.
Because it's very popular in like China and Korea and Japan. And basically that's it. Not a lot of other people play it, which means it's very hard for me to find commentary of like games in English. But there are a couple of them. That game's really hard. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that bad. It's like really bad how hard it is.
It's like the black and white pieces, right?
Yeah, like the fundamentals are pretty straightforward of like you capture territory, you build walls, you try not to get your territory taken. Not too bad. But then once you get into like, here's how to be good at it, you have to make all of these complicated shapes and know in advance if your shape is good or not.
How big is the board?
The one I play on is 9x9, which is not that big. The one that like pros play at is 21x21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's, it's like enormous. Big. So like I'm mostly just vibe playing right now where it's like, well, I'll just like put on like pro games with commentary when I'm bored and they kind of do this thing. So I'll just kind of do stuff that seems like it's good without actually knowing if it's good or not. And that seems to be what most beginners do until they figure out how to actually know how to do things.
That's wild. So what, you're just for shits and giggles, like, let's learn how to play this, or I don't have enough on my plate.
I had a friend that is like into this. So she was like, oh, we should play some. Like we should. I used to play this growing up because she's Chinese. So I'm like,
friend.
Okay. So yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's fun. We should try this. Friend. So we downloaded an app so we could play on an app. And now I'm just like playing. I accidentally got into some random game with a person in Korea. On a 13x13 grid, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but they also are supposedly a beginner, so we're playing very slowly because it's like you have 24 hours to make a move.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you could be, isn't it like opportunity to cheat, possibly? Like,
oh yeah, I mean, you could. Like, I could just look up AI like solutions for the board I'm on, but why would I do that?
I don't know.
I don't care about like my rank in this app. It doesn't matter.
If only there was a card app where you could play in English. There's
that
not
would just
English
be so
ones,
hard.
I know. How do you do it? Oh, it's too tappy. Tap's not going to be.
Yeah, the lag is enormous. Like, doesn't matter.
That's the issue. Yes. When there's no turn taking, that's when it's a problem. Oh, man. Okay, yeah. Well, that's exciting. A new endeavor.
Doing more stuff. My two book clubs are going okay. I need to finish the other book by the first week of December, and I'm only a quarter of the way through it.
Well, you got a long ass flight, possibly to Japan to read on.
Yeah, or I'll be sitting in an airport for hours and hours and hours. Who knows?
Oh my gosh, Joe.
I'll read it then.
I feel like no one just gets on their plane anymore. It seems like there's some kind of complication. Everyone's got I got delayed and then they didn't even tell me until I showed up. Or
yeah, it's because the government shut down and the air traffic controllers aren't showing up because they're not getting paid, which makes sense.
Yeah, very much makes sense.
Oh, listen,
what are you going to do? I if I was going on that trip with you guys and we got to the airport and they're like, you can't go, I would have a meltdown.
I mean, you're going to be able to go. It's just what flights are you going to, it might just be very complicated because they're just canceling a lot of stuff. So it's probably possible. Who knows? Oh, okay. The thing that's nice is that there are five of us going.
Yeah.
On four different routes. Because two of them are in a couple. So somebody will make it, which means somebody can check in at our reservations and stuff like that. So it's highly likely that at least one of us will make it on time.
Okay. Yeah.
The rest of us might be delayed by I don't know, a day or something. Who knows? We'll see.
Are you guys staying? Why don't you tell us a bit? Are you staying in hostels? Or are you guys staying in for real places? You're adults with.
It's Airbnbs at some places. I don't really know.
Okay. So it's kind of all over the place. Hostels.
You just did the hostels. I don't think we're doing any hostels.
It's $20 a night. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I stayed in hostels when I went to Europe. But I think there's just enough of us to where. Well, it's interesting
because you're in a group. And so, especially with a couple too, but so not everyone's going to be on the same wavelength on if. I don't know. With me, my sister is we're just good. I don't care if we're both tired. We're powering through. We're able, we can be more come on, get it. But I feel with adult friends, it's maybe they don't feel like it, but you do. So it's there's more possibilities of what could happen on a certain day if someone is tired or I don't know, or wants to do something different.
Yeah.
Do you have you're just going to be in certain cities and then figure out kind of more so once you get there what you're going to do?
There's some stuff that's structured because some things take reservations. So there are some things we're definitely doing at certain times. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think it's just there's a big list of stuff we can do and we're kind of just going to plan out what we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited for you.
Exciting.
Well, you got to find there's bookstores that have old print stuff preserved. I have a little cute paper bag from a Card Capture Soccer cafe that was a 1990 ribbon magazine calendar that was so you can get all this cool old print materials for really cheap.
Yeah,
you gotta find them somewhere. They're really nice. I love that.
Yeah, I need to find some stuff because I know that I'm trying to motivate myself to do more sewing. And I know that men's fashion over in Japan is not dead like it is here. And so I'm thinking they have some stuff or they have magazines or something that probably has something that could be inspiring a little bit as I try to find a new pattern to make or something to motivate me to do anything. So that's my plan. I'm going to try to be looking for stuff like that. So hopefully I will find some things.
Yeah, when I was in Japan, I think it was right before the fanny pack revival where it was more of a crossbody thing first. I saw it there first and then I saw it become a thing over here. But all the dudes there had the nicest shoulder or crossbody bags. Yeah, I just feel like everyone, it's interesting because everyone I feel dresses really cute, but then they're all wearing sneakers, comfy sneakers, which I, in my mind, it's oh, you wear cute heels with a dress. But, that's very much not practical for the amount of walking you have to do there. Make sure you pack your comfiest shoes. It's so important.
Mm-hmm.
So much walking.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No. So that's all. That's all in place. Getting it all together, et cetera, et cetera. I'm kind of just like just
everything.
It's very weird. It's always weird before you go on a big trip because you're like, well, I guess I can't buy groceries. Like, what do I need to do with this? Because I can't start anything. I'm about to leave for 2 weeks. So what do I do? I just like sit around and do nothing. It's very weird. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, because I'm I guess when I went, I had someone staying. I lived with someone, and so they like took care of the animals. Basically, I just was like, bye. And that was it, really, you know, other than like taking work off. But I guess when it's like no one is going to be in your space for that period of time, setting the thermostat right and at least you have
a lot of that kind of thing.
Something.
It's, it's just that.
Are you excited?
I don't know. I'm like very all over the place in terms of like I played a little KOTOR 2 yesterday.
Yeah.
Making snail's pace progress. But that's still back on the board now. So that's good.
Nice, nice.
Ugh.
We got to do our Oscar bonus episode. We got to do that.
Right. We'll do that. We can do that maybe next weekend or something. I don't know.
Someday
doing stuff. I feel like it's been hectic. Like I've been doing a lot of stuff. And then like these last 2 weeks, even though I'm like, feel like I'm ramping up for a big trip, I'm not doing nearly as much. So I'm like, don't know what to do with myself. I'm like too restless to sit down and just like, oh, I should just read or I should just like watch all this stuff. Like I should just watch 10 episodes of Sopranos. I can't do that. Too restless for that.
Resorting to working out of all things.
It's weird.
How's the weather there? It's
bad.
It was like cold and then it was hot and then now it's kind of today I have hope again, but it's bad. Like it's windy or
cold and like overcast. So it's supposed to snow a little bit tomorrow if it rains enough because it keeps like drizzling, but it's like low 40s. So it's like cold drizzling. So who knows? Maybe it'll snow. Maybe it'll ice. Maybe nothing will happen. But it's dreary.
Joe loves the sunshine. He just loves soaking up the sun normally.
It's not, as long as it's not super windy, it's not that bad. If it's windy, then it sucks.
Oh, man. Good thing you didn't go to Lubbock. Good thing you didn't go to Texas Tech, where it's cold and windy. And you ride your bicycle because your class gets out at 9 at night. And you don't want to walk around at night. So you just like, your eyes are just rivers coming out of them as you drive through the cold wind.
Yep, that's true.
And
that's
if it rains, it floods. It floods so much that people crack out the jet skis to go down the street because there's no system in place for water. There.
Wow.
Yeah, people like for real. They like get boats and like it just. Absolutely floods there if it rains.
That's weird.
Yes. So it's like you need rain boots just for that. So I feel like classes don't get canceled either.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yep. That's kind of it. I don't really have much else. I guess it's like all my friends who were leaving left. So now I like am not in a scramble to constantly hang out with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Weird. Dang. Weird times.
Well, and then the holidays, I feel like it's hard to hang out with friends because people are just in and out for the holidays. Yeah, so
that's true.
So you're going to Japan, you get back, and then it's December. Or what?
It's December.
Like, you get back in December?
Yep.
Oh, you think it's going to be all decked out for Christmas when you're there? Like,
I don't know. It's a little early still.
Ah, you think they're not insane like us where as soon as the next day after Halloween, people be... Or at least my mother put up a Christmas tree the day after Halloween.
I don't know. I mean, maybe in December, like the beginning of December, but I kind of doubt
what
when we
go. Month is not enough.
It's not enough. Like, I already feel like there's too much Christmas stuff. It's already being annoying. Like I just went to like different stores, department stores yesterday, and it's like they're playing Christmas music. And I'm like, bro, it's the first week of November.
Yeah. Well, I feel like as a kid, because you had the anticipation of like Christmas Day, like it felt like longer, like a month of December felt so much longer. So I felt like I absorbed so much more Christmas spirit as a kid.
Yeah.
And now it's like, what? It's already the week before Christmas. I haven't gotten any gifts yet. Kind of scramble.
Yeah.
Time flies. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yep. Well, it'll be happening before we know it.
That's right. Will we be covering? No. We possibly will still be covering this show, I guess, by then, depending if we do season two.
Maybe, but we're already halfway through season one. I mean, three episodes per podcast episode means we kind of just blow through it. I don't know if that's good or not. Okay. I guess we'll have to decide at the end of this if we still want to keep going at this pace.
I guess, they wouldn't have a Christmas episode in the show anyways. We're at the period of time that this show happens, there is some Western influence fashion wise and stuff, but I highly doubt it's gotten to the point where they're celebrating Christmas.
No, I do not think so.
So, no.
They have not lost World War II and have been colonized by the U.S. essentially at that point. So,
Let's get into it. A little bit more about this show, Joe.
All right. So we're gonna talk about some voice actors in the remaining time we have left. We're gonna cover three because one of the characters might be out after this for the most part. At least when I tried to look up voice actors, she did not appear very high in the list. But we're gonna start with Mio, main character. She is voiced by Rihanna Ueda, who is a singer and a lot of stuff. A lot of her credits are like singing opening songs and things like that. But she has played a lot of stuff, especially very recently. So she is the voice of Mao and Vulpix in Pokemon Sun and Moon. And Mao is like the green haired girl. I don't watch Pokemon anime, but it's like a bajillion episodes. So good gig. She's also.
Yeah.
She's also Kanao from Demon Slayer. That's the butterfly chick who doesn't talk. Not the other butterfly chick who does talk.
I can super see that.
Yep. She plays Ruri and Dr. Stone. I don't watch that, but people like that.
I haven't. That guy looks silly, and I don't want to watch a show with that hair is... Ugh.
Mm.
I hate his hair, so I'll never watch it.
She plays Kisa Soma in the Fruits Basket remake. That's further than I ever got in the original,
so I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, she plays very soft-spoken, meek girls a lot.
Yeah. Except for these last two, because she's also Sakuya from Code Geass Rose of the Recapture, which is like the Rose of the Recapture, who's like the main character chick who is much more active in doing stuff. And she plays Rize from the Chainsaw Man movie, who is not soft spoken really at all.
One with horns?
That is not the one with horns.
Which one is that?
She shows up mostly in the movie. She's not really in any of the TV shows. So if you haven't watched the movie is like all about her. She like shows up and is like Denji's girlfriend for like 10 minutes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So watch the movie if you want to know more about her and what her deal is. I'm not going to spoil it because that movie just came out.
Yeah, it's still in theaters. So, yeah. Okay.
Yep. So, but yeah, it's a lot of like, soft-spoken characters. Not a ton of like main character energy, but some, you know?
Yeah.
But you know who does have main character energy? The voice actor for Kyoka, which is Ishikawa Kaito, who voices Sakuta. I'm not saying this guy's last name from the Rascal Does Not Dream of series. It's like the main boy in that.
Okay.
So he's the main boy in that. He also voices Tobio Kageyama from Haikyuu, who's like the
he's the setter, the king. Or Prince, whatever. Yeah, he's the black-haired one.
Yeah, the second lead.
Yep.
Is also the voice of Naofumi in Shield Hero, the other big series the studio animates that I don't like. He's the voice of Genos in One Punch Man, the robot man.
Oh, okay.
He is the voice of Ida in My Hero Academia, who's the kid with the, jets on his feet.
Yep. The class president.
And voices Keigo in Witch Watch, which I like that show.
I haven't watched it, but Witch Watch is fun to say.
It is fun to say. Yep. So lots of kind of angsty guys.
Like angsty, but intellectual kind of.
Yeah.
Or at least the ones I know from Haikyuu. And I just know the robot guy from One Punch Man is like the hot guy from that show.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly ain't the main dude.
Not the main dude, but a little bit more of that. And the last one we're going to cover is the voice actress for Kaya. She doesn't have a lot of other, I don't know if she's going to keep showing up after these episodes, but we'll see. She is voiced by Ayane Sakura, who is the voice of Ochako in My Hero Academia.
Well, that's the one big one.
Float girl herself.
Yeah.
She's also the voice of Nero in Black Clover, which is the bird.
I haven't watched Black Clover.
She's the voice of Gabby in Attack on Titan, most hated character by a lot of people.
I thought it was like Dobby or something. Or is that the
No, I just said Gabby.
Not the sub. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
I mean, it's Gabby.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Hate that chick.
Everybody hates her. Whatever. She's a child soldier. I don't know what to say.
No,
she's
unlikable.
Also also the voice of Ira and Danadan. That's the pink haired girl.
Is that the one with the crazy? No, that's.
Her haircut is pretty crazy, but it's she's
is it
like
the one
second.
Where it's just like a big old ponytail on the top with the broom. That lady.
That's what's her face's grandma. This is the pink haired chick that goes to school with them.
OK, I don't know. You already know my thoughts.
She's in the main cast.
OK.
And then lastly, she's the voice of Fiona in Spy Family, which
that's
is
Anya's little friend, right?
No,
that has the hots for Lloyd. Oh, no,
this is the adult woman that has the hots for Lloyd, who's his coworker.
Oh, right. OK, gotcha. Yeah. Well, I mean, these are all enormous shows she's in, at least. So
Becky, that's her friend's name.
Becky. That's I like Becky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you watched season 3 yet?
I read it, so I don't watch any of it.
OK.
Which one's season 3?
I gotta watch that. I don't know.
Season 2 is around on the
three?
Boat, right?
I thought that was the movie. No,
nope, maybe the movie's
right.
On the boat.
I think that was the end of season 2. Anyways.
I like the boat arc. Anyway, yeah. So, in a lot of stuff. All these people in a lot of stuff. I know we've had, like, long stretches where we had these voice actors that just, like, weren't in other stuff, so we're just, like, rounding out. These are big things. We know this stuff. Yay!
Yay! So yeah, it seems like this is a show that I guess it's new, but just because it's new, like, what's an example of a show that came out recently that like it feels like it was half-assed? Because is it just like easier to do things of better quality right now? But I mean, they've like got cast that's, you know, I don't know. I feel like shoujo in the past maybe is just a lot of like beginning work for people, but.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like half-assed, but like when we did A Sign of Affection, those were not voice actors that were in like a ton of stuff, really.
Yeah.
Which usually just means they come from a different like orbit. I mean, it's probably related to the production company that like makes the shows, because like all of these guys were also in a lot of the other stuff that the studio made. I just didn't mention it because we hadn't seen that stuff.
Mm.
But like they're in card fight and
stuff
like that.
Explains how anime is made. Like behind the scenes of the anime industry,
like
would be an interesting documentary.
How you cast voice actors and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these are just like big people, so they show up in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways,
whoever the casting director is knows some people at this studio, I guess.
Yes. All right. Here we go.
So we'll get into our episodes today. We watched 3 episodes today, 4, 5, and 6. And season 1, episode 4 is called The Gift. We open another flashback dream where Mio's mother has to try to advocate for her daughter to her husband, even though her daughter doesn't have any magical powers. She fails at this, and her dad does not give a shit about his daughter, and she apologizes to Mio for not able to do more for her. Mio wakes up and looks at the comb that Kyoka gave her last episode as the OP plays. We return on Mio asking Yurie what kind of gift she should give Kyoka as a thank you for like letting her live there and giving her a comb and stuff like that. And Yurie is excited to find something. But Mio's like, hey, I don't like have any money to buy anything. So Yurie recommends that she make him something and hands her a crafting book. And Mio looks through it and decides to make him a braided hair tie.
It's always interesting seeing like art within art. Like the magazine looked really cute, like because it's like trying to look different than what the actual animation of the show looks like to indicate that it's not like it was a cute little pamphlet thing.
Yeah, the craft book was interesting because it like they did like a little montage and it showed like sewing patterns, but it was sewing patterns of like, I think, Western clothes, because I don't think Japanese clothes have parts like that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Or it's not structured, I guess. So maybe it's, or it's like a universal, like, what is it called? Pattern. It's like a universal pattern. Like all of the kimonos is, you know, obviously there's variants, but it's pretty much the same. So you probably don't need a pattern like you do with Western clothes.
Yeah, like I don't think like the pattern for kimonos have a ton of individual parts to it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have as many seams. This looked like stuff mm-hmm. for like vests or things like that, which have lots of seams or like lots of pieces. So it was just interesting to see mm-hmm. what was in it. But they had all sorts of stuff. Also, did she have a sewing machine? When were sewing machines invented?
I feel like
sewing machines.
The rudimentary ones probably surely have been around for a bit at this point. I don't know if they're in Japan yet, but
let's see. Invented in 1790, so they would have definitely been around. I don't know. I hadn't seen them. You could probably get them.
Maybe it's like a, I don't know. Like at what point is, well, in certain places, well, it's, I don't know. Cause like in Japan, it's like, I feel like tradition is super preserved, but maybe in Western society, I see it being like, oh, look, this thing's saving me so much time, blah, blah, blah. But like, in Japan, where it's like, or at least for a woman at this point, it's your whole job is to be doing this crap. So maybe it's like, ah, you're taking the easy way out by getting a machine to do it when you should be doing it by hand kind of thing. Like,
I'm sure the dressmakers and stuff have like industrial sewing machines. I don't know how many domestic sewing machines there are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yep. It was there. Anyway. Mio gets permission to go into the city from Kyoka because she needs to ask permission to go into the city. And he agrees, but tells her to be careful. Then he gives her they call this an amulet.
It's like a good luck charm.
But it's like a charm.
I guess when you think of amulet, I guess you think of like a necklace looking thing. I don't know. What is the technical definition of an amulet?
That's a good question, because this is more like a charm you can buy. You know, the thing, like it's like a little thing inside like a pouch. That's like tied together. Mm-hmm. This has a name. I just don't know what it is. I think they translate it to an amulet because that suggests it has magical powers.
I see.
Because amulets, let's see, amulet, object worn around the neck as a charm against evil or injury. So amulets specifically have magical powers.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why. But it really is just like a charm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess charms. Do charms have magical powers? Like in.
I feel like. I mean, right, there's different charms you can purchase at like shrines that I guess are supposed to like, but it's like a singular thing. It like good luck or luck and love or this or that, but not like all encompassing power, maybe.
All right. What's the difference between a talisman, an amulet, and a charm?
Well, a talisman's like the paper, right?
A talisman. This is based off of magicandwitchcraft.com. A talisman is an object that is believed to hold specific powers or bring good luck to the owner. Okay. It's crafted with a specific purpose in mind. Great. An amulet is more passive in nature. Unlike a talisman, an amulet does not have a specific purpose or intention. Okay. Charms often have a more personal connection to the wearer and hold sentimental value. All right. There we go. Our magical taxonomy of super real things that are real. Anyway, he's like, here's this amulet. Going.
Yeah.
It will ward off evil or whatever. He doesn't even say that. He's just like, it'll protect you. And she's like, cool.
I know. At least tell her so she knows.
No.
To like, gotta downplay how big a deal it is he's giving it to her.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This has implications. Mm-hmm. Anyway, elsewhere, Koji sulks. Suddenly, his red-haired brother shows up and teases him about marrying the girl that he hates. Koji starts to tell him off, but his brother casts a spell that makes it so he can't talk and then leaves. Because his brother is also more magic than him.
Mm-hmm.
In the city, Mio and Yurie go to a craft store and find some thread to make a hair tie. She picks out yellow and purple as the colors, which is, it's cute.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like, well, blue would suit him better. But whatever.
I think, like, purple and gold are the colors of the Saints like Row.
Regal.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I think of when I hear that color
scheme. I think
scheme.
It's more regal, or maybe they're more expensive ones.
Or like
right?
The Saints.
Purple, like traditionally, it was a very expensive color to have or to dye or whatever. And so it was like only the wealthy would wear purple.
Yeah.
We're at that point. In
is that true in Japan, though?
Past that. I don't know if it's true in Japan, but.
Because that was true in Rome.
No. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
I don't know.
Also, yeah. It's like thick rope and he's got that scraggly ponytail. So it's like it's going to overpower his ponytail.
I will say the show puts characters in a lot of different outfits. And so nobody has like a strict color motif, unlike a lot of other shows, I feel like puts them in the same outfits. That's kind of nice. I like it when characters get to wear different clothes.
Yes. It's very much a nice thing. Well, especially when we watch more old shoujo, we'll be like, dang, it sure would be nice if they wore something different at least. And it's such a rare treat that they, you know, clothes, let alone change their hairstyle, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is a nice little...
While walking, Yurie remembers she needs to pick up some stuff, so she leaves Mio to wait for her while she runs some errands, which I don't really understand why they didn't go together, but Mio just stands there at like a street corner.
Why wouldn't she go with her?
I don't know.
That seems silly.
Elsewhere, Kyoka visits Mio's parents. He's come to talk about Mio, and he tells him that he intends to marry her and wants to, like, formally meet with him about that. Normally, he says marriages between families would require some kind of, like, payment from his side, but he doesn't want to do that because my understanding is that you all are huge assholes. Reports are coming in that says you guys suck real bad.
Yep.
So I don't really want to be associated with you guys, he says. But he's like, listen, I'll pay the endowment, which is what you pay the family of the bride to marry them in what is not just a financial transaction, I guess. But only if you give Mio a formal apology. He's like, those are the terms. And Mio's father is like, I need to think about that. I don't know if I want to apologize to my daughter who I mistreated for years and years and years for money.
Good Lord. Yep. I mean, it's not like she's going to tell anyone you did it. Just do it, dude. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Very, very weird.
Evil.
But Mio's father is kind of just like passive and doesn't know what to do about anything. As we see in these like 3 episodes.
Nothing person.
Just, yeah. Nothing going on with that guy.
Nope.
In the city, Mio waits there until she runs into Kaya and Koji. Kaya makes fun of her, and Mio just stands there and takes it. Kaya assumes that Mio has been kicked out of the Kudo household and is just kind of bumming around the city, I guess. I don't know why she thinks this, because she's like wearing a nice kimono and stuff, but this is the assumption.
Mm.
Eventually, Yurie shows up and is like, what's going on here? And Kaya introduces herself and asks if she and Mio are coworkers, and Yurie is like, no, I work for her like future husband's house. I'm like, run the household. And Kaya is shocked that Mio didn't get thrown out already, and Yurie makes some excuse to leave, and her and Mio go. They get home, and Mio excuses herself to go wallow.
Kaya and wallow she does.
Yeah, she sure does. Kaya and Koji come home and see Kyoka leaving, and Kaya's like, wow, that guy's super hot. Kyoka comes home and sees that Mio is sad. Yurie tells him what happened at the outside today. And I have a note here about, listen, there's so many, okay. I have like a fundamental problem with the show, which is that it takes place in 19 whatever. So like when Kyoka comes home, both of the women are like, they're receiving him and they're like bowing to him at the threshold. And I'm just like, I would lose my mind if this happened to me. I would, this is crazy. I understand that this is like not what the show is about. It's not about how like the patriarchy exists to like make women as overtly subservient as possible. But it's the only thing I can think about where I'm like, dude, this guy sucks. Even though I know he doesn't. I know he's supposed to be more progressive than everybody else. But Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, it's just. See, I mean, I don't know. It's, I mean, even to this day and what we see depicted where it's like you welcome them at the door. You're not like sitting, bowing, but you're still like receiving them as they come in kind of thing. I'm like, I don't know, just roll in whenever. I'm doing my thing, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, I assume that like
you come to me to say I'm home.
I assume that's like people aren't actually doing that every day. You know what I mean? That's like a thing you do if you know they're like receiving company. It's like keeping up appearances more than like something they actually do. I'm guessing today's day, nobody really does that consistently unless you want to. But goddamn,
yeah, I feel like it's just so weird in your face having here. People just bowing all this. I feel like I didn't think, well, I don't know. It's just the setting that the show takes place in, I guess, and we shouldn't overthink it.
We shouldn't. Yeah, the main problem I have with the show is that that is so distracting to me to everything else that it's hard for me to be like, oh, Kyoka's like so good and nice and like progressive at the
time.
He's still
a guy from this time, yeah.
But it's still like all the formalities are there and it makes me insane. Mio is so depressed that she hasn't started braiding the hair tie that she was so looking forward to doing, and instead she's just kind of sitting there hating herself. Kyoka tries to comfort her by saying that feelings pass and she can come to talk to him if she wants, you know. He's like, I'm there for you, but she's still in spiral mode.
Mm.
We get some scenes where Kyoka starts writing a letter and Mio decides to actually start making the braid. And there's a voiceover where Yuri explains that you can give a woman confidence by communicating to her that she is loved.
No shit.
Yay.
Well, this is good. I don't know.
I mean, there's probably other ways to get confidence for women. I don't think this is the only way, obviously.
Only through men's affections can they be confident.
The show called My Happy Marriage, that makes sense.
It's just weird because we don't know anything about this guy, like literally at all. What his upbringing is like why?
Yeah. Why is he in the military?
Did he not watch any kind of like interaction between his parents to indicate like why is it? It's like she's teaching to be human sometimes. Like, you know, if you talk to her, she'll.
When you're like around women, you have to make it seem like you like them.
Yeah. Or they're going to think you don't like them. Yeah. If we like get any explanation of his background, I just feel like normally we would get something at this point, but I guess it's like very much the show is about her and probably her character development, but he is like in the show.
That seems like season two stuff to me.
I guess so.
You know, like, I feel like that would be good.
Once they get married and then we learn about him and then it's like, oh, we can't get out now.
I feel like that's a good season two hook where he's just like, oh, I was so focused on myself in season one. I didn't even think about what's going on with him. That seems like a way to extend it.
Maybe.
It's later and Kyoka gets the letter sent and Mio has finished braiding the hair tie. But Mio is unsure how to give it to him because she doesn't want to when she's all sad. She's like, I can't give it to him like this. How am I going to give him this? Suddenly, there's a visitor for Mio. It's Hannah from the flashback last episode. Remember the servant that protested her getting locked into a storeroom as a child?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's here. She's like, what's up? It's been a while. She's here. They talk and have tea. Hannah tells her that she's married now and has a kid. And she says that she's always hoped that Mio got a happy ending. And it's great to see her now. Not living in that house. She asks Mio if she's happy, but Mio says that she isn't gifted, so there's no way she could stay as Kyoka's wife. She's like, as soon as he figures this out, I'm gone, so I don't really know if this is my happy ending. Hannah tells her that Kyoka was the one who asked her to come here, and she shows her the letter he wrote to her.
Okay, that was my question. How the hell does he know that she exists at all?
Like, he hired a PI.
Telling her, but I guess.
Listen, that PI did a lot of work.
Yes, apparently so.
He was getting photographs of people back when I don't even know when you took photographs like that. I don't know.
Shikigami or whatever. Magic.
Mio thinks that if Kyoka knows about Hana, he also must know that she doesn't have magical powers. But even still, he wants to marry her. And she's like, oh, that's so relieving. Maybe he isn't going to just cast me out immediately. And she starts crying happy tears this time, as opposed to sad tears, which she was doing just a minute ago. And Hannah tells her to keep her head up high. Have some confidence, girl. This guy loves you. That's how confidence manifests itself.
Well, we don't know if he loves her yet.
That's true. Later, Mio goes to tell Kyoka formally that she doesn't have any magical powers and was basically a servant growing up. She's like, sorry, I didn't say this earlier. But then she shows him the hair tie and says it's a thank you gift for taking her in. Kyoka puts down his newspaper and tells her that he intends on marrying her. You know, if you want to, if you're still wanting to do that. She says yes, mm-hmm. and they hug. Then she ties his hair tie, or ties his hair up with a hair tie. And it looks pretty good. I don't know. It's pretty good. Nice. Yeah. Mio sees Hannah off and Kyoka puts his hand on her shoulder as they watch the sunset. Off in the sky, more paper Shikigami look at them. And we cut to Koji's dad, who's been watching them through the Shikigami. He comes up with a scheme to get Mio out of that household using Kaya as we cut to credits.
Dang, that was just one episode.
That was one episode.
So much stuff.
Yeah, I feel like this one was less busy than the next episode.
Oh, dear. Yep.
Yep. So they're getting along.
Yeah, I mean, good. Yeah, I guess at least it's like everything happens and resolves within single episodes because there's no time for anything else. So we're going to compare it. Like, the only show we have to compare pacing wise is going to be A Sign of Affection.
Yep.
But very obviously different stakes for the relationships. But
yep.
Like, I don't know that. I feel like I had more like genuine like awe moments with Yuki and what's his face than I do with these two. Yeah, like they felt more tender and genuine versus.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the stuff going on in A Sign of Affection is like their interpersonal relationship and how they talk to each other and like what they talk about and that kind of thing. The conflict in this is a little more external, like.
Yeah,
there are concerns about outside forces coming in contact with them. So we don't get to see them spend as much time talking about themselves or like internality. It's mostly just like
know each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Mia's dealing with her personal family history and how that's affected her like vision of herself and stuff like that. And Kyoka's just trying to figure out how to navigate that.
Yeah.
We don't get into them like interacting. Like so far, Kyoka's just being like nice and like a good dude. Right. Which is like, good. But doesn't really have a lot of like specificity to it.
Intrigue, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is, you know, maybe hopefully we'll get more of that before the end.
Yeah, yeah. Huh?
Any other episode four thoughts?
Nah, let's do it. All episode right. five.
Episode five is called Ripples. We open on the kimono maker fitting Mio with a pink cherry blossom pattern we saw a few episodes ago. Mio tells Kyoka that these are too nice and there's no way she could accept them. But Kyoka's like, I don't know, just think of them as a thank you for the hair tie from earlier. She's like, okay.
Not an equivalent exchange.
No.
That kimono's gotta be so expensive. You have to make the kimono with your own hands, dude. Hers is handmade.
That's true. You're just buying stuff. Anybody can buy stuff.
Yeah.
Back at the Tatsuishi house, Koji's dad and Kaya talk about Mio. He shows her a picture of Mio and Kyoka, and Kaya's like, it's that hot guy from yesterday. She's married to a hot guy? This is unacceptable. Kaya offers to request that her father swap Mio and Kaya so they can marry each other's husbands instead. Because she's like, I don't really want to marry Koji. Mio wanted to marry Koji. I should marry this hot guy. We should wife swap. Which is like an insane request, but this is the plot. It feels like an insane request. I mean, I guess in history, this must have happened at some point, but wild.
Well, and I guess also Kyoka at least has like a past of the fiancés coming and going. So at least on his part, it's not really a reflection at all because it's just par for the course with him.
I mean, I guess it's all like these are all arranged marriages. So this is just like, you know, trade negotiations or whatever.
Placeholders,
very odd. Back at the Kudo residence, Mio makes dinner and tells us that she invited Goto along as a thank you for getting to meet Hannah because he drove her home. So mostly she just wants to host a dinner party,
which is fun that she's like feeling cozy enough to have people over at her house.
Goto and Kyoka ride together to Kyoka's house, and Goto teases him about his new fiance, and I think they have a pretty fun dynamic. I like Goto having introducing any amount of humor into the show.
Yes, and I feel like I think if they had done where he does seem, I just feel like Kyoka is more interesting when he's with Goto than he is with Mio, and like if we could at least get some kind of like explanation of him purposely being more like not, you know, aggressive jokey like he is because he knows that she wouldn't understand or something versus just like shutting it off for her versus I don't know, like if there is more intentional that he was like altering his behavior for her, it would be nicer I think than just inexplicably
because like him and Goto have like a comedy
banter
two-man thing where he's like the straight man in it, which is like fun for their comedy routine. But Mio is not goofy at all, so like he's just kind of straight and serious, bouncing off against Mio, who is like timid, and so it's not as dynamically fun.
Nope.
They arrive at the house, and Kyoka kicks Goto out of the car and threatens to light him on fire. Mio comes out in her new pink kimono, and Kyoka is blown away. He's like, "Holy shit!" Goto says hi, and then Kyoko tells Mio that she's beautiful, and they both get embarrassed. And Goto's like, "Hey, I'm still here." So Mio says hi to him.
I wish the blushing was more. I want heavier blushing. It's slight blushing. I like when we're super blushy, like cheeks on fire. Come on.
Kaya watches all of this through a Shikigami, which I think is very funny. Watch like the Godo comedy routine, and you're just like, I'm seething. I'm so mad.
No, she was not amused.
No. They have dinner, and Mio has made a bunch of food, and Godo's having a great time. Mio thanks Godo for driving Hana to the house, and he jokes and says that Mio should marry him instead of that stick-in-the-mud Kyoya. Kyoka. This causes Kyoka to choke on his drink, and Godo's like, I'm just joking, dude. But Mio also takes it seriously and gives him like a very formal and nice rejection.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to work on her comedy chops.
Yeah, I know. For real.
By the end of this series, she needs to tell a joke. She needs to tell a successful joke that works. That's my Rosalie needs to shoot a guy. That's my version of this for this show. Is Mio needs to crack a joke that lands.
Well, I feel like there's better odds at the Rosalie thing, and we didn't get that, so I'm not feeling good about the chances of that happening here.
Later, a drunk Godo leaves the house, and Kyoka is like, I'm sorry he's always like this. Then he thanks Mio for hosting the party, and pats her on the head. Who doesn't love a good head pat?
No, me, I don't. Stop it!
elsewhere.
Take her hand or something.
Nope. Elsewhere, Mio's father denies Kaya's request to wife swap. He tells her that if she's so bored, maybe she should focus on like taking care of a household or whatever women do. Go do women's stuff, Kaya. Stop bothering me with the wife swap plan.
Yeah.
But Kaya isn't giving up. She goes to see Koji and asks if he would prefer to marry Mio. You're all for the wife swap, right, Koji? And he's like, elsewhere.
Well, Mio, like, does he seem to think, because you would think, like, does he, I can't remember if you would think if he was under the impression that Kyoka was like crappy, like the rumor said, then he would maybe entertain it more, but he doesn't seem to. He seems to think that she's in a better position than she would be with him.
I feel like his deal is like,
at least he seems to care about her best interests, even at losing out on being with her.
My thing, well, my read of this is like, Kaya, who he trusts 0%, is like, hey, I got this plan to help out my sister, who by all accounts I hate. And he's like, this is probably not good.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Sees right through her.
Yep.
Such a little brat.
Elsewhere, Mio falls asleep and dreams she's being pursued by zombies, and then it transitions to a scene where she's locked in the storehouse by her mother again. Kyoka notices something is wrong and finds Mio. He recognizes that she's been put under a sleeping spell and she's having a nightmare, so he wakes her up and she seems to be normal. He tells her to let her know if anything seems off, and tells her that she's not alone in this. You know, we can work together. You should tell me stuff.
Mm-hmm. Talk Later. To each other.
Mm-hmm. We should talk to each other about stuff. I shouldn't just keep talking you through the paper walls because the patriarchy. Maybe we should just have a conversation as equals, I say. That will not happen. Spoiler alert, that does not happen in these episodes. Later, Koji sees some mystery men get into a black car, and he thinks back to his conversation with Kaya about swapping wives, and he wonders what they're going to do with Mio. Elsewhere, Mio makes a cute bento box for Kyoya. They're going to drop it off at his office today to bring him his lunch. Mio dons a new blue kimono and Yurie gives her a matching bag, but we see that she forgets to transfer the protection amulet to the new bag, so she no longer has it. Dun dun dun. Chekhov's gun.
Dun dun. Uh-oh.
Koji goes to see Kaya and his father. What?
What'd she say about a gun?
Chekhov's gun.
What is that?
Chekhov's gun, this is like, it shows
some
up.
Literary
in,
shit.
It's a literary term. It basically means because a gun shows up, somebody's going to get shot. It's like you plant an object there with the intention of using it. Very so you're clearly. Like, hey, remember this thing. It's going to be important. That's the amulet.
Just like the gun in Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Yeah, the Lost World gun.
That should be the new phrase.
Yeah. Koji goes to see Kaya and his father. He asks what they're meeting about, and Kaya says that it's about the wife swap, and Koji's like, come on, there's no way that would work. But his father just tells him to trust him, because he's on board for it, which is weird. He's like, it'll all work out, but Koji is not convinced. Mio and Yurie go to Kyoka's office and gives him the lunches. He assumes something is wrong, but is relieved when it's just them delivering lunch. They turn to leave, but Kyoka calls after them to ensure that Mio has the amulet. Hey, remember that amulet? It's plot important this episode. You have it, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, I totally got it. And he's like, cool. And then he goes back to work. Chekhov's gun, the Lost World gun, is being loaded. Mio checks her bag and realizes that she doesn't actually have the amulet after all. So they decide to rush home to go get it. While walking back, black car.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, they take a car to get there. So how long do you think it does take them to walk all the shuffle their way there?
I don't know. Like an hour?
I feel like it doesn't matter how much you rush. I feel like it's going to take a while.
Probably. It's probably pretty long. I mean, cars didn't go that fast back then, but like 20 miles an hour is still more than what you can walk. So,
yeah. Yes. And a little kimono and sandals.
Oh, for sure. While walking back, the black car from earlier pulls up on them and several invisible guys pull Mio in the car. Yurie sees this, but isn't able to stop this. And the car drives away. Those guys were wearing like the camo from Ghost in the Shell. It was crazy. Like they have invisible camo.
Yep. Cloaking devices, but magic.
Magic cloaking. I feel like this would affect how World War One and World War Two would go, but I guess don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like if you had magical cloaking abilities, I feel like that would be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Back at his house, Koji demands to know what they're planning. Kaya excuses herself so Koji can confront his father himself. Koji asks why they can't just leave Mio alone, but his father says it's fine. She's pathetic anyway, so she'll be okay. Just leave it to me. But Koji snaps at him and yells at his father, which activates his magical powers, which makes like the room shake. And he levitates all the furniture like he's Psycho Mantis. And he tries to throw it at his father, but his father easily stops it. And he's like, nice try, kid, but I'm way stronger than you. And then he forces Koji to the ground and ties him up and leaves because Koji sucks.
Yeah, he's another nothing person.
He's not psychic.
He's just a play. He's just like you just have a cardboard cut out of him in the scenes instead of actually
taking L's, nonstop L's.
Yeah.
Koji is left tied up on the ground and suddenly his older brother shows up and releases him. Koji's like, I'm a joke. I can't even beat my dad. I can't do anything for Mio. And his brother's like, your problem is you're trying to like fight our dad directly, a guy who's stronger than you. Maybe you should like think of a plan that doesn't involve you taking a fight you're gonna lose. And Kyoya or Koji's like, oh yeah, I should do that. I should use my brain. Back at work, Yurie tells Kyoko that Mio got abducted, and Kyoka instantly knows who's behind it. And then suddenly he hears a commotion outside his office, and it's Koji, and he's come here to get help from Kyoka as we cut to credits.
I just feel like there's characters that I just feel like we have a lot of characters that are not very important. His brother. Why is his brother helping him? We don't know anything about his brother or his motivation.
He seems important.
It seems like it, right? Like he has red hair or whatever. It's like more colorful and interesting looking than his brother. So it seems like he got more character design, which you would think means he's gonna be like. I don't know.
I think so. I mean,
we don't get like a lot of shows. I feel like even when we get side characters, at least we get like little like shots of like, oh, they smirk and it's like intrigue of like, oh, why are they? And so you think about like, oh, I'm interested to see what happens next with them. But I feel like these characters, it's like whatever, he's there, he's gone, out of my mind.
Yeah, it is convenient that he shows up. I mean, feel like because like episode 6 is basically the end of this arc.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we'll get more arc. And I feel like he's going to be bigger in later stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I guess we will find out. But first. But
yep. So she gets abducted by invisible men. Koji tries to stand his ground, but can't.
I feel like this is a show where things keep happening because she's going out with Yurie. I'm surprised he hasn't like gotten her, because I feel like a lot of shoujo will start where it's like, oh, it's just the two of them, but then the cast grows bigger, which I've always been like, dang it, there goes their time alone together. But like, I feel like I would think they would add like a secondary character to be like her bodyguard or something. Like,
oh, well, next episode we're gonna talk about the stunning lack of bodyguards in security detail in the next episode.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, we need a new character introduced that fills that hole. after
this episode. it is kind of shocking because, like, in regular day-to-day stuff, Kyoka and Mio don't really spend that much time together because he's at work and she's just at home.
No.
So it's like, yeah, I don't really even know what she spends her time with.
Twiddling her thumbs and sulking.
Yep, very odd.
Okay.
Should we just do the last episode and talk about these two as a unit? Because I feel like this one just leads into the next one.
Let's do it.
All right.
It's a cool name for the episode.
Yeah, episode 6 is called Determination and Thunder. We open on Mio waking up in a storehouse room, tied up. Kaya and her mother enter and taunt her as the OP plays. We return to Kyoka and Koji driving to Mio's family's home. Koji is all restless, but Kyoka appears pretty calm and focused because he's a military man. Back in the storehouse, Mio's like, what the hell is happening? But her stepmother accuses her of thinking that she's better than them and then demands that Mio refuse Kyoka's marriage offer. Kaya grabs some gardening shears and threatens to cut Mio's new kimono if she doesn't comply. Mio refuses and Kaya cuts into the fabric, which I feel like is not that threatening. This was like given the enormity of like, I'm going to pull out your teeth, except it's like, I'm going to cut your kimono unless you upend your entire life.
She's been so, like, I guess the idea would be ruin the gift that he got for her. And then she spirals of, like, you know, he got me this nice thing. And then look what I let happen. Or some crap like that where she, like, blames herself for it for some reason.
The stakes are very funny because, like, it's treated very seriously. Yeah. But it's like, what, are you going to give up this gift he gave you? Or are you going to abandon him forever? It's like, this is not... This is not a difficult choice, particularly. I mean, it's upsetting, but it's not a hard choice.
Just, like, fix it and put, like, a cute little, like, flower patch or something over it. Like a little pin.
Yeah. Or he can just buy you more. He bought you, like, 6.
Oh, that's true. But this is the mom one, right? This is the pink one.
No, this is the blue one.
Oh, this is the blue one. That's right. I do like the blue one, though. Cinderella vibes, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mio freaks out, but stops and kind of puts the shears to her neck in a much more serious threat. But still, Mio refuses to meet that demand. Her stepmother slaps her, but then Kaya gets bigger shears and cuts Mio loose and lets her fall to the floor. I thought, again, this was going to be more serious, but she's just letting her fall. They try.
Yeah, I don't know. Surely that was a lot of work to get her all tied up. Well, I don't know why she did that.
I don't know either. They try again to convince her, but she refuses, saying that she'll still be able to marry. They're like, you'll still be able to marry Koji. But Mio again refuses to forsake Kyoya's marriage proposal. Her mother starts hitting her in the face with a fan, which, like, I understand is, like, real violence, but it's very funny because, like, a fan is very small.
Well, it's closed, right?
It's closed. Yeah. So it's like, you're hitting, like, somebody with, like, an inch thick stick.
Yeah.
Which just doesn't seem as brutal as hitting them with your hand, which I guess we're trying not to be brutal. But
then, if she doesn't, she'd hurt her own hand by if she used her own hand.
That's true.
You know, kind of like it has to be a tool used because it's beneath her. I don't know, beneath her to make skin-to-skin contact, just let the fan do all the work, not her dainty lady hands, skin.
Yeah, it was just
smacking her around.
It was just because, like, the entire framing of this scene is of, like, a torture interrogation.
Yeah.
That you'd see in, like, a show about terror, like 24 or something. But then, like, what they do is much more, like, they're evoking all this stuff, right? It's like, we have the shears and I'm holding them up to your neck and then I get bigger shears, but then I'm just using them to cut you down because we're, like, not actually trying to evoke, like, war on terror style torture, even though it's kind of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Very odd. So hitting her in the face with a fan, I keep being like, oh, that's way less worse than I thought it was going to get. I thought it was going to get way worse than that. And, like, cutting your kimono, I was like, oh, okay, that's not that bad, actually. I thought she was going to, like, pull your fingernails out or something. Like, that's what this scene evokes.
She's going to cut her hair.
Yeah, cut her hair or something, like, a little bit more lasting.
Permanent.
So it was just a little weird to have this framing to, like, what actually happened. Outside, Koji bangs on the gate of the Sayamori estate. But this gets them nowhere, so Kyoka decides to blow it up instead, and he splits it in two, and he and Koji go in.
Okay, so each episode, he's using a different element. You think he can't switch between them very well? Because, like, the first episode, he's using ice, and then we see fire, and now we're seeing the lightning. Like, or is it just like, look, I can do it all?
And
today's episode, my power is thunder.
We get a bunch of different, like, elements. Because before it's like he casts ice and he casts fire. But those are kind of the same thing, right? That's all like temperature stuff and, like, water temperature.
Mm.
But yeah, he uses electricity here. And also everyone's about to start using generic barrier spells.
Oh, yeah.
And like we saw like furniture floating. Like they make it sound like in the episode two that they're like people have different specialties and like can only do certain stuff. But everyone's just kind of seeming to do anything.
Yeah, you're right. That's very true.
That was very odd.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes. And then assuming Neo gets the gift, what is that gift? Is it? And I hope you're getting like, because all we've seen is dudes really using the powers other than her sister seeing the things, but not actually doing anything to them. I would like a lady character who's like, here, girl, I'll show you how you use your powers kind of thing or something.
I was also thinking that, no, like, that
not
would be
in
cool.
this day and age.
But yeah, I fear we are not going to get that.
Or like some cool cutscene where her, where her mom like used it or something.
Yeah.
Or at least, yeah, Mio better be a badass, or I hope she's a badass by the end of the show.
There just needs to be some woman that does something cool.
Making me think of Red Data Girl, which is a show where like she's super. In that one, it's like more supernatural abilities, but where she's like super meek, but then she ends up being badass at the end. And
I had not heard of that.
Oh God, no! That has such a good line in it though, where like because there's like the boy who's kind of supposed to be her keeper, whatever, but like. Oh, he says this good line where it's like, I need you to need me. And I was just like, such a good line. Anyways, where are we?
Koji's just blown up the gate. Mio's father and Koji's father come out, and Mio's father is confused, like, what the hell's happening? And Koji's father is like, I knew this would happen. And he tells Kyoka to go away, but Kyoka's like, no. Koji's father convinces Mio's father to help him cast a barrier to keep Kyoka out. But this does not work at all because Kyoka breaks it extremely easily.
Mm-hmm.
Koji's father then creates a giant wind tunnel and tries to hurl it at Kyoka, but Kyoka casts his own barrier, which stops it. Then Kyoka counterattacks with electricity and shocks Koji's dad. Koji thinks his father doesn't stand a chance, and this is why Kyoka is known as the strongest.
Yeah, that's all we get about...
That's what we get. He's strong. Back in the storehouse, the women hear the commotion outside. Her stepmother tries to get Mio to agree to the plan, but she continues to refuse. Outside, Koji tells Kyoka about the storehouse, saying that Mio is probably there, and they start to head over when suddenly Koji's father summons a giant firestorm behind them. Kyoka blocks it, but it also catches the rest of the estate on fire. And Koji wonders how this could possibly be worth it just to, like, capture Mio. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I guess there is a comment of, like, why would he use fire that, you know, it's too dangerous here to use that. And I guess that's, like, it could be an explanation for why Kyoka isn't using, or he's using specific elements because they're in, like, a densely populated area. I mean, I wonder if there's, like, kind of a gentleman's code of magic in this, like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Common sense things for magic practice.
Like, I don't know where they are. I mean, like, historically, right? Like, in World War II, dropping fire bombs on Japan was extremely effective because they built a lot of houses out of wood. So, like, fires are super dangerous there just based on the way they make their cities. So I can definitely see them, like, you should not use fire attacks in a residential area, like, at all. Like, that's just bad for everybody because it'll just go out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. I wonder if they did a lot of controlled fires, like for larger fire prevention back then, if they knew to, like, because there's like natural fires that happen that burn up all the like extra crap that builds up over time, like extra leaves and stuff. And
yeah,
it kind of cleans itself out. But I wonder if they did a lot of like controlled fires back then since they.
Yeah, they probably had a lot of like management.
Let me find a book on ancient firefighting practices in Japan.
Yeah, so I could definitely see why like fire is a big no.
Totally.
Right. Kyoka decides that this is enough and summons a lightning bolt to knock Koji's father out. It works, but everything is still on fire and Mio's dad is distraught and does nothing. He's like, what the hell's happening? In the storeroom, Kaya is now choking Mio, but Mio does not refuse, even on the verge of death. Kyoka's the best thing that's ever happened to her, so she'd rather die than give it up. Kyoka enters the storehouse and sees Mio about to pass out from being choked. He rushes over, before she passes out, and she thanks him for saving her, and then Kyoka cradles her as she passes out. Mio's stepmother goes outside and sees the entire estate on fire, and she has a breakdown. Kyoka asks Kaya if they did this to her because she refused to go along with their plan, and Kaya says her sister doesn't even have magical powers. She's worthless. She's like, I should be your wife, not her. None of this makes any sense. But Kyoka tells her to shut up and carries Mio out, and Kaya tries one last time to appeal to him, but he basically tells her to fuck off and then leaves.
Yeah, are we gonna need more, like, get life sucks for them now scenes? Because this is not satisfying enough, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple ways in which this isn't satisfying.
Muppins or...
Yeah. But let's just finish it out. Kaya wonders why things turn out this way. Koji tries to get her to evacuate because, you know, your entire estate is on fire. She refuses to go, saying that he only cares about Mio anyway, and he agrees, but then says that Mio wouldn't want Kaya to die pointlessly in the storehouse, so they need to go. In a dream, Mio revisits her mother, Sumi. Her name is Sumi. Sumi apologizes for leaving her alone during her childhood and tells Mio to believe in her own power. Elsewhere, the Emperor is pissed off.
Enter the unexpected.
The Emperor, who is the oldest man alive, is pissed. He doesn't want the Kudo family to accumulate any more power, so his marriage to an Osuba is a huge issue, and a glasses guy asks for permission to take care of it, and the Emperor gives him permission to take care of Kudo. Back at home, Mio wakes up, and Kyoka is there, and she thanks him. And Yuri also shows up and is relieved that Mio's okay, and everyone's glad she's safe. She looks at Kyoka and agrees as we cut to credits.
Okay, so the Kudo family... All we know is him. I need to know
That's
more
true.
About his
There's
family.
There's nobody else and, as
like,
far as we know.
For the scale that they're starting to try and bring this to, that the Emperor is involved, I need more context, please.
Yeah, this feels like it's going to be like a Dune thing where it's like, oh, one of the houses is getting too strong and that's a threat to me, the Emperor, so we got to take care of him. That's what I'm imagining this is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't know about her... But everyone else seems to. So is he going to tell her, hey, did you know you're a Suba whatever? And then can we get an explanation of what that
means,
please?
We're
going to
need that. We're absolutely going to need that.
Yeah.
Because she's going to be like, why did this happen to me? And he's going to be like, all right, well.
Like, is he going to train her to use her power? I don't know. We need some. And then like, ooh, let me show you how to cast a spell. And then it's the whole, like, let me show you how to swing a bat.
The problem.
Version for magic.
Yeah, the problem is that, like. Magical powers in this world seem to be either you can do them or you can't, which kind of sucks. But I mean, obviously she's going to get some premonition powers. I don't think she's ever going to be like shooting a bolt of lightning out of her hand, but
dang,
she probably will see the future, I guess.
Well,
my complaint about this episode. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say it needs to be badass power to make up for all this fuss about it.
Yeah. Hopefully. My complaint about this episode is what was Koji's dad's plan here? Like, this is a bad plan because basically the entire plan hinges on the idea that Kyoka himself won't show up and just take her back. But there's no reason to believe he wouldn't do that because Yurie saw them take her. And also, he's the only person who would want to take her. Also, why is she being held at his house? You don't have, like, a storeroom off in the woods somewhere? You're not going to, like, try to hide her a little bit?
Well, he took her back to, like, her family's house and not his own property.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, this is the place she grew up. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He's just a villain who...
But, like...
You know, and villains don't have actually good thought-out plans.
Yeah, but so he hires all these guys to, like, abduct her, but he doesn't hire them to protect her or, like, to stay at the house? Like, Kyoka shows up. And he's like, oh, I thought you might come here. Anyway, I'm going to try to fight you now. And then just gets his ass beat very easily. And it's like, what did you think your plan was? You know, this guy is the strongest guy. He had no counter for him. There was no plan at all. It's like, what did you think was going to happen?
And
you were just going to win.
So you see that they're canoodling. And also, even if he didn't care about her, if he knows the value of her for this supposed bloodline thing, then wouldn't he fight for it?
I just don't understand what could possibly, how this is supposed to go. Like, what's supposed to happen? You convince Mio to leave him.
I don't think you overthink it.
And she goes and tells him, and Kyoya just accepts that, even though he knows she got abducted because Yurie was right there. It's just nonsense. It just makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I guess when there is shoujo that has any kind of, I feel like we just don't get the, like, no, that's not true. Gak and Alice is an example of where they set up a world with powers and, like, explain all of it. And like, we got, well, the anime sucks for that though. So it's unfortunate, but I don't know. I feel like this, I don't know. Yeah. I'd be interested to think of like what the addition of magic, but not like fully exploring it benefit is for this. I guess just because it is something that isn't really done well or done at all in shoujo, but then not doing it like right necessarily by thinking it out more.
It's like, I don't even need to like a full explanation of how the magic system works or something. Yeah. I just need to know what the plan was. Cause like, it just looks like Koji's dad is an idiot, right? Like he lights the, like he does, yeah. He does a big, like he starts off with a big wind tunnel attack, right? That Kyoya blocks. And then he goes and does a big wind fire tunnel attack, which is basically the same exact attack. And he blocks it in the exact same way. And all it does is light everything on fire. And it's like, why did you do the same attack that didn't work twice? It's just stupid. It just comes across as like very stupid and making no sense.
Yes. Problem.
Like, I don't, it just makes it, again, it's one of those things where it's like, I know this is supposed to be a scene about how like Kyoya is cool and powerful, but it just makes him seem like he's like annihilating a guy who's dumber than rocks. You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't make it seem like Kyoka is really cool. It
not
makes
satisfying.
It seem like,
not earned.
Yeah.
Coolness.
It just makes it seem like, Koji's dad is a moron.
Yeah.
Like anybody could beat him. It's pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what do we think's going to happen next? It's,
well, I'm hoping
she's still recovering from injuries, and are we going to time skip a little bit, you think?
We'll probably get a little bit of a time skip. Like, I think this is probably going to conclude the family stuff for a while, right? Because we're obviously planting the seeds for like glasses guy with the emperor is going to come and do some, hopefully a much better plan that actually makes sense.
Oh, I'm imagining it's the whole second lead where like he then like comes and is mystified by her kindness and blah, blah, blah. And then I don't know. Tries to make her think that, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Mio,
I'm just assuming they didn't show his face. I'm assuming he's cute and it's a treat for us to discover when we do see him.
Uh-huh. Like, Mio needs to get some magical power. Like, she needs to get some agency in the story because, like, in this whole thing, her deal was like, I'm not going to give in to these demands. I'm going to stand up for what I want and what I believe in.
Yeah.
And that's my, like, character development, which is good. But she is still very damsel in this arc, which, like, it can't continue, right? We can't. Yeah. She can't still be damsel by the end of the first season and the second season and stuff like that. Like, she's got to have some, she's got to be able to make some active moves. That's at least what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I guess that will happen. We wrap up all her crap and then she's equipped at least a little bit, maybe in season two, where some stuff happens on his part and she then gets to step in and be a guiding whatever or something. I'm guessing is how it'll go.
Yeah, I mean, it would be,
but I guess
in my mind, it would be cool if she didn't have magical powers and she was still able to help out by without having them. That would be cool. Yeah. I don't think the show is going to do that because her mom keeps saying, believe in your magical powers. But that would be cool. But yeah, she just needs to start doing something a little more, which hopefully she will.
Well, I just want to read Gak and Alice. Oh, God. Well, that is episodes 4, 5, and 6.
So we're done talking about
it. It's taking us a long time to go through these episodes.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
An hour and a half.
Yeah, that's true. Do we want to switch to 2 episodes per podcast, or
is that how it's going to even out now? That'll work out.
Yeah, because it's 12. It's 12 and there's a 13th OVA, but we'll probably just cover that. I mean, we could just tack that on to the end.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
So you want to do
that?
I
think that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, so next time we'll do 7 and 8. Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Keep the runtime down.
Sweet. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if what the character development we get is. We'll see if I still get distracted by the general patriarchy existing in 1920s Japan, if that'll just take me out of it forever. Or I don't know, maybe Mio will get to shoot an ice blast off. That would be cool.
We'll see. Finger guns.
Yeah.
With ice. Yeah. Or a joke.
Or land a joke. One of those things needs to happen. Yeah. She needs to shoot an ice blast or land a joke.
Yeah. Well,
and if you want to land a joke, you can leave a comment on our Apple Podcast and rate us 5 stars and also on Spotify and everything else, and tell your friends about this podcast and that they should be watching My Happy Marriage. It's pretty good so far. People are blowing things up.
Yeah, I am enjoying, like, I am looking forward to watching more of it. So it's certainly,
yeah, it looks nice,
entertaining at least. Yep, yeah, it is pretty. Yeah, so that's that. I guess, what did we learn?
What did we learn? If you attack somebody with an attack and they block it, doing the same attack but adding fire probably isn't gonna change much. Mm. So maybe try to do a different attack. Maybe if you piss off the strongest guy in the country, you should have a plan for how to deal with it instead of just being like, I'll just solo him, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. The just because you wrecked your son who's weak as hell doesn't mean you can wreck everyone.
Yeah.
I need them to just be like, Koji, you're not that into her. She's not into you. Drop it. Get out of town, dude.
What's he gonna? He's got nothing else to do. He's got to do something, right? Is he still gonna marry Kai after this? I don't know.
Dude, I don't know. But that's wild. I don't imagine so, because her family's got nothing, because it's all just burned down, and his dad's probably going to jail, so like no obligation to carry on with that, I imagine. And they better not give her any kind of redemption arc. Get out of here, Kaya. You very clearly were made to be sucky and always suck. So I'm just assuming she's gonna be destitute, and then she's gonna partner up with some other future person for another like plan, and then that's gonna super fail. But she's gonna this be like time a team it'll rocket. Be her sister who lets her off the kind of crap like that.
Yeah, we'll see. There needs
to be at some point it'll be, because this time it was Kyoka sparing her, but like it needs to get to the point where it's Mio who does it.
Yeah,
to really like sink in the message that she's like grown beyond you, and now you're getting let loose by her. So
yeah,
back off.
Yeah, there needs to be more, like, we need to see what the fallout is on her family to, like, really get my full opinion on it. Because, like, if it just ends and, like, oh, they accidentally lit their own house on fire, it's kind of like, that's not that satisfying. Like, if they were just less stupid, they wouldn't have lost.
Yeah, well, technically, it wasn't even them. It was that guy.
It was that, so. Yeah, it was this other guy. But it's just, like, I don't know. Like, there needs to be more, like, Kyoka just kind of lets them get away. Like, he knocks them out and then just takes her, but doesn't really do anything punitive. And if they just get away with it, I'm gonna be like, why didn't you do something to them? I don't know. Shouldn't just let them run free.
Nope. I don't think so.
But I don't know. Anyway, that's what I learned. Don't just let your enemies run free. They'll probably come back to, like I said in the Rose of Versailles, if you have an opportunity to take out a person who hates you and is gonna make your life bad, you should probably take it. Because they're probably just gonna come back and make your life bad.
Yeah. Yep. 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 And on that note,
thank
you everyone for listening. just end them. Just like we're ending this episode of Shoujo.
Ugh.
All
right.
We'll catch you all next time for episodes 7 and 8 of My Happy Marriage.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.